This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. We'll look at the upcoming cattle on feed report. We'll break that down for you in just a moment. Speaking of cattle, Paul Beck is an Oklahoma State Extension Beef Nutrition Specialist on crossing beef and dairy cattle genetics.
Dairy genetics within these cattle gives us some advantages in carcass quality, but they're very light muscled. The beef portion, or the beef sires, adds both muscularity, increased performance, increased gain, and increased efficiency to those dairy genetics. You know, we'll have a very good, high quality product, and that beef cross just increases the efficiency and performance of those animals.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest, Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, we've seen a lot of volatility in the cattle market last week, and now we're looking forward to the Cattle on Feed Report Friday. What are traders watching?
Yeah, we will get that next piece of data with the Cattle on Feed Report coming up on this Friday after the close, actually. And I don't know exactly how those numbers are going to come out. I know that the placements numbers have been trending higher. And I know that we eclipsed the market's expectations with the last report that resulted in a pretty good repricing on the futures board with the live cattle and the feeder cattle moving lower. So I think, I don't know if it matters what the trade is looking for. We'll see how the reaction is once we get the actual number. But I would say that there's probably a heightened sensitivity to the possibility that there could be a surprise, especially after what happened with the last report eclipsing the high end of the expectations, like I mentioned, in terms of the placements. So we'll see how that all plays out. Net-net, looking at the tendency so far this year compared to last year in terms of the cattle on feed inventory category, that's one piece of the data that comes out in the cattle on feed report, and also looking at the placements numbers year on year, placements number eclipsed was higher than last year. And for the most part, over the last few months or so, we've been trending underneath last year in those placements. So it'll be interesting to see if this new development of being a bit higher than last year continues or not, because the trend up until the last report had been lower than last year. Okay, if you follow me there. And then in terms of just the cattle on feed inventory, same story. We've been trending basically under last year for pretty much all through this year up until the last report. And then in the last report, in terms of just the cattle on feed inventory number, we popped up a little bit. So we'll see how that all plays out, right? And the market's going to place its bets and perhaps even step to the sidelines. So we'll see how the market kind of squares up going into the latter part of Friday's trading session. You might get a sense for some kind of opinion out there, shall we say. The backstory on cattle these days, we did see some pretty good technical damage in the charts recently. A good slide starting about 5, 6, 7 trading sessions ago in the Feb Live Cattle Futures, which is the highest volume, most actively traded contract at the moment. And then the feeder cattle for the January, also a pretty good slide to the downside. So technically speaking, the bear trend is still there. And it's going to take some time to, in my opinion, build a base and see if there's an ability to push this thing back up. Primary drivers at this point are, of course, the cash numbers. See what's happening out there in cash cattle land. The recent trend has been for lower. If you look at last week, the Southern live trade was mostly at about 181. That's about $4 lower, $4 to $5 lower than the previous week. Northern trade, somewhere around the 286 level, that was up about, down about $6 or so week on week there. So that's indication of, you know, at least part of the cash equation, shall we say, that the market's trying to grapple with in terms of pricing out these futures boards. Cash is called steady this week, which kind of makes sense, I guess, in front of the report, which could be a pretty big variable there. The other data points for cash: box beef cutout was right around $301.5 or so by Friday. That was down a couple bucks from the previous week. The 5-area weighted average price was 180.07. That was down from 184.90. And then if you look at the cutouts, if you want to even like break it down more, the round primals, chuck primals, 50% trimmings, 90% trimmings, all lower week on week. There were a couple of things that popped up a little bit, that being the rib primals and then the Oklahoma feeder steer number popped up a little bit. But net-net, those cash side of the equation in terms of the primals pushing a little bit lower. So the market's trying to deal with that. And what's happening out there? Well, it seems like the Packers' appetite to continue higher numbers in terms of throughput have slowed down a little bit. The slaughter last week was put at 618,000 head, or estimated at 618,000 head. That's down from 632 the previous week and down from 670 a year ago. So looking at the pace of slaughter, it looks like things are slowing down in terms of the throughput for the Packers, and that's an element that we need to see turn around in order to gain a bid back in our cattle market. Seasonality-wise, I know we touched on this a bit last week, but the normal tendency for both the live cattle and the feeder cattle futures around about this time of the year is for a dip in prices into mid-month. So that seems to be evolving pretty close to what's happened over the last week or so since the beginning of the month. But on the tail end of the month, the back half, you actually see typically a rally. So some technical work needs to get done. We saw a good slide to the downside. We've had a couple of days of consolidation, that being Friday and today. We'll need to see this low end of the trade evolve and see if these lows can hold. And then maybe we start to see some kind of rotation back to the upside. The other kind of interesting thing to me, just from a technical point of view, which we don't really get too deep into the rabbit hole of technicals because there's so many different ways of looking at the market, but one of the big drivers for me is just watching volume and see how much action there is in a particular day. I know you could break that down into the quality of the volume between who the players are and where that action actually is, where that volume actually comes from. But nonetheless, with this pretty good slide to the downside, especially over the last couple few days, we've seen volume start to tick up, which maybe means a bit of a blow off if it really can't continue to the downside in any kind of big fashion. So my crystal ball is definitely not clear. I don't know anybody's got a great crystal ball, but nonetheless, those are a couple of the cues that we might look for that might start to indicate a bottom could be possible, which also would line up with the seasonal. So we'll really have to see what happens over the back half of this month and then take it from there. And obviously, the big variables too, besides the report that's coming on Friday, is just watching the grain prices, in particular the sensitivity to the feeder cattle market and therefore the live cattle market. So we'll have to continue to see what the big pattern is in those, because both corn and soybeans had a pretty good up day today, and we'll see if that has legs.
Now, speaking of volatility, we saw some of that on Monday, especially in the bean market.
Yeah, the grains started out the week with a pretty good move to the upside. The corn and soybeans, as you laid out there, basically blazing the trail, with corn up around 13 cents and soybeans up around 36 to 38 in the first couple contracts anyway. The drivers, in my opinion, are the continued heightened watch of weather down in South America, in particular Brazil. I think Argentina at this point seems to be off to a pretty good start with no major events in terms of weather rocking the market one way or the other, whereas up in Brazil, it's a bit of a different story, with southern Brazil being drenched and northern Brazil being parched. And I think the weather forecast at the moment is for things to stay dry, but come this weekend into next week, I believe a rain development is going to happen in the northern part of Brazil. And if it comes in as expected, then perhaps that'll take a little out of the wind of the take a little wind out of the sails of those who want to be bullish because of that particular reason. And one of the major drivers of soybeans in general has been the continued huge appetite for soy meal, and the fact that Argentina just couldn't supply the world as it had because of the abysmal crop down there last season. And that continues. If you look at the soy meal prices for the December example, again, it made new highs today, up around $21, getting to about $4.70 or so. So that rally continues. And it actually made into new swing highs, and clearly if one of the products that is made when you crush soybeans is screaming to the upside like that, you would think that soybeans themselves are going to get that bid. And I think that's definitely one of the helpers there. So not only has it been complete, you know, pretty much less than ideal weather in Brazil, it's also the continued appetite for soy meal, which is just helping to drive soybean prices, at least keep them stable to higher. Now, we haven't really broken into the new highs yet. The bigger picture range, in my opinion, for the January soybean contract has been, you know, the low end of the $13 range to about the middle part of the 1400, so about 1430 to 1440. Now we're trending back up towards the higher end of that range, so we'll have to see how things play out or to see if it stalls over the next couple weeks, all right? And then I think that range will be even more well established. So we'll see how that plays out. In terms of corn, the ethanol is still a good driver in terms of demand. We did get the USDA report out last week, and it seems like a distant memory, but net-net, pretty much relative to expectations, most of the categories in terms of either the U.S. grain-ending stocks or the U.S. production or the world-ending grain stocks ended up higher than anticipated. So ample supply out there seems to be the general story in terms of wheat and corn. Soybeans was the one that came off a little bit in terms of the world grain ending stocks. So we'll see how that plays out over time and see if that changes much. So that is where we're at. I know that we have a very important meeting this week between U.S. President Biden and President Xi, and we'll see how that all plays out and if there's any new news in terms of promises, good, better, and different in terms of Chinese business down the road. Now, China has been a decent buyer of late, especially for our soybeans, and last week was a pretty good number for the export sales, primarily going to China, and it might have been a little bit of an olive branch being sent out by China before that meeting this Wednesday. So we'll see if that continues or if it was just that and play it from there. We do get one bit of data after the close today. It'll give us the crop progress numbers, and the soybean harvest by the trade is expected to be around 95% complete, and then for the corn harvest around 90% complete. So we'll see if we get close to that.
All right, we want to talk one-on-one. How do we do that?
Sure, contact information. You can pick up the phone, give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053, or reach out via email. That's B. Maurer, B-M-A-U-R-E-R, at manducatrading.com, or come visit our website at www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading Chicago, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Join us at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show November 28th through 30th at the Amarillo Civic Center. Connect with hundreds of exhibitors showcasing the latest ag technology and attend agriculture-focused seminars too. Earn your certification at the Beef Quality Assurance Training or attend livestock education sessions with the Texas Tech School of Veterinary Medicine. Hear from experts at the Cotton Conference, earn CEU credits, or attend the Texas Wheat Symposium. It's all happening at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show. Visit AmarilloFarmShow.com for more information.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Bob Maurer online, myfuturesadvisor.com.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
You won't want to miss the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show, November 28th through 30th at the Amarillo Civic Center. Kick the tires on the latest equipment from John Deere, Massey Ferguson, Vermeer, Polaris, and more. Explore hundreds of exhibits showcasing not only equipment, but seed, implements, irrigation, ag services, trailers, and even holiday shopping experiences. This show has everything, including free admission. Join us at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show, the premier farm show for High Plains agriculture. Visit AmarilloFarmShow.com for details.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Reduce deception, increase transparency, and for contract poultry producers, create
a more level playing field for these growers.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack telling reporters this week his department's about to publish a final rule that would require poultry integrators to create and give to potential contract growers what's called a live poultry dealer disclosure document.
This document is designed to provide a realistic set of outcomes that growers can expect before they make an important contracting decision or before they make key capital investment decisions.
The document would lay out specifics about such things as costs and facilities requirements and what happens if a flock is hit by a disease outbreak. In other words,
to better inform growers in terms of what they're getting into, if you will, during the course of their arrangement.
He said this is just one of several rules being developed to improve fairness in livestock markets and competition in those markets. Gary Crawford, Washington.